Hey, welcome back. This is episode 16 of the Infamous Podcast. Make mine Marvel. I'm your host, Brian Tudor, along with my Johnny. Awesome co-host. What's your name?
Johnny Potterworth.
Johnny Potterworth. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
I may be half asleep, but I'm sure.
It's a warmish day out, threatening to rain.
A warmish day out, threatening to rain. And I worked last night and went back in this morning, so I'm kind of like, woo.
You're a trooper, my friend.
Yeah.
So, hey, this week we're going to talk the Preacher trailer. We're going to talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And then we're going to finally make good on a promise to talk about some of these all-new, all-different Marvel comics that are coming out. A few of them have started hitting shelves.
For the next 12 years.
For the next few months. Some of them started hitting shelves. Some of them are coming out between now and as far as March right
February
now.
February, March, I've seen announcements for.
So we're going to talk about the ones we've gotten so far, kind of our initial thoughts, and then the ones we're looking forward to. You ready to get to it?
Yeah, let's go.
All right, so let's talk about Preacher.
Yeah.
All right, I haven't read the comic.
Okay.
And I know that's probably like sacrilegious to say.
Shame on you.
Shame.
What else haven't you read then?
Fables. Those are the two big ones that I've missed.
The Sandman?
I've read some Sandman, okay. But I wasn't crazy.
So you actually have an idea of the character.
I know about it. And I read
But you have Sandman. No idea about Preacher, and you have no idea about Fables, like besides what you've read.
Just from what like I've read and from what you've told me and that kind of stuff. It was just one
of those I don't tell you much because I don't want to. Yeah. It's like anything else. I don't want to spoil it for people because, you know, I've been into comic books for 25 plus years at this point, and there's a lot of people getting into comics now where I'm like, read this, it's good.
Right.
And that's all I say.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm right there. I mean, I've been 20 plus years reading it. It's just, for some reason, I just never got, I never picked up those books.
You were more focused superheroes.
I was. For a long time, it was strictly superheroes.
Yeah, and the thing with me was, I think I came into, you know, I think, when I really started collecting again, it was like 92. So Vertigo had just started up.
Right.
And it was pretty much like, oh, let's check these books out. And every time there was a new Vertigo book, I check it out and I either find a dud or I find a gem.
Yeah. Like, what was the most recent Vertigo book that I was reading? Flying Saucers.
Saucer Country.
Or Saucer Country. Yeah. I really enjoyed
it. Yeah. It was a good book.
And enjoyed that book.
I didn't finish it, but you know, I think I just have to pick up one trade and I'll be done with it.
Yeah,
but it was a good book.
I was kind of bummed when it
didn't
got
have it didn't have the strength to get an audience.
Yeah, it was really weird.
But it was just one of those books where it's like this should have been a miniseries.
Yeah.
Whereas the Preacher, the same with Fables, like right out of the gate, probably the first four or five issues, you're like, okay, what's going on? Why the Last Man was the same way.
Yeah.
Where Why the Last Man first issue, you're pulled in.
You're just hooked right away.
Yeah. Preacher, everything that pretty happens. Much the first issue will pull you in.
So I'm hoping Comixology will do a big like Preacher sale and do that. And I'll pick it up that way. If not, I'll just get it at the store.
Or I'll have to dig into my archives and pull out some of the trades.
So the trailer launched during The Walking Dead this past week, which we're not going to talk about because I didn't watch it yet. Sorry. So
Into the Badlands also.
Yeah, Into the Badlands.
Did you watch that trailer too?
I've seen stuff about that, and I did watch the trailer.
This trailer was similar to the Comic-Con trailer.
Okay, yeah, that's the one I've seen.
Okay, so it's very close to the same thing.
Okay.
But this, that show...
It looks cool.
I don't know, like, if it's based off of anything, because they haven't really said. I just think it's a story that they've come up with, and it looks really good.
Yeah, cool. All right.
And so, Preacher does, too.
Preacher, just from the AMC website, it's going just strictly by the TV show.
Okay.
It says Preacher is the story of Jesse Custer, who's Dominic Cooper, who you may or may not have recognized as Howard Stark from Captain America, the First Avenger, and Agent Carter.
Right.
As a conflicted preacher in a small Texas town who is inhabited by a mysterious entity that allows him to develop a highly unconventional power. Jesse, his ex-girlfriend Tulip, Ruth Negga, who's on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., she played Flowers. She was the kind of scientist who figured out the Terrigen Mist and everything.
And she becomes an Inhuman.
And she became an Inhuman. is on there, and then also an Irish vampire named Cassidy, who's Joseph Gullen from something called This Is England.
He seems to be really popular from what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
And that English actor. Yeah. He was in something else, I can't remember the name of it, that is a real popular show over in England.
Okay.
And everybody's like, ooh, he's going to be on this show? It's like, you know, obviously people have seen him in...
Cool.
Which, I seen him in the preview, and I'm like, okay, I know who that guy is. Nice.
And so, and then it says, Jesse, Tulip, and Cassidy embark on a journey to literally find God.
Right.
Now, the trailer looked really good.
The trailer looks good.
It, like, the cinematography, just like... Like all those mechanical things that go into making like a thing have a look. Very clearly, Preacher has a look to it. Now, from what I've leafed through in the comic, like it's very gritty art, very dark art.
It's Steve Dillon.
Yeah.
Really good artist. He did every issue.
Oh, cool.
So it was, you know, it stayed steady with the artist and that, which helped that book because I don't think like switching up artists on that book would have probably heard it.
Okay.
And that the story needed somebody who was going to be there for the long haul.
Sure. But, and you've told me, like, it's really, really violent.
Oh, yeah. There's really, like, things that I'm, like, wondering how they're going to put it into the show, but then I'm like, this is the same network that does The Walking Dead.
Yeah, because we had those same questions about The Walking Dead. Like, how are they going to do this? How are they going to do that? And they seem to have been able to keep the gore level up where it needs to be.
The gore level, I don't think is going to be a problem on this show. I think it's going to be the religion. Yeah. And it never really caused a controversy when the book came out and that, but I mean, it wasn't a book that was like, it was a DC book, but it was a DC Vertigo book. Right. So it wasn't like it was out there for everybody, but it was one of those books where I told people when I was recommending it, when it was being published, there's some pretty gruesome stuff in there. So, you know.
Yeah, I know you told me to, like, if I do pick it up, keep it away from the kid.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, definitely. It's there's you know, just a lot of violent stuff in there.
Okay.
But Into the Badlands is the same, like, same kind of concept where you're like, okay, this looks really violent. When the one dude's walking out of the building covered in blood, I'm like, okay, Preacher will be fine. And, you know, it's just one of those things where it's like, you know, how far they're going to go, how much of the book they're going to use, same as The Walking Dead. The preview looked like the first issue.
Okay.
I mean, besides the introduction of, I don't remember if Cassidy was introduced in that first two issues, but besides that, everything looks close to the same.
Cool.
And that.
Yeah, I'm excited to check it out. You know, just kind of another genre show that's not necessarily superheroes.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I'm all
for it. I mean, there's enough superhero to balance it out with, you know, the darker stuff. You know, it would be cool, like Constantine. Yeah. I haven't watched it, but you enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah.
And it was, it's the darker side. I didn't love
it, but I did enjoy it, yeah.
The darker side of a superhero.
And I tell you what, Constantine was on Arrow this week, and I know you haven't watched it yet, but it was, I really hope Matt Ryan comes back.
Yeah.
They could easily.
I'm sure they'll have an open door for
They could him at easily this point. Fit him into the. Especially the way the story's going with Damian Dark.
Right.
Like, they have a. Like, Oliver and John have a great, like, interaction there at the end about Damian Dark. And so I could totally see him coming back at some point to quote unquote save the day.
Yeah, I haven't watched it any of Constantine yet, but I mean, you know, when I seen pictures of him, I'm like, definitely he fits the character. He,
perfect.
Now, with Preacher, did you see that Amazon sold out of everything?
No, I didn't see that.
What trailer ran Sunday night, by Tuesday afternoon, I think Amazon had sold out of their entire stock of at least the first trade paperback.
Oh, wow. It's Garth Ennis, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Garth Ennis, Steve Dillon did the art. And yeah, it's a Garth Ennis book for sure.
So, you know, I mean, that's great. Like, that's what I kind of wish, like, Marvel would do with their things. You know, it's like, hey, we have an Avengers coming out.
Yeah.
Like people go out and they get excited to buy an Avengers book. And that's not really happening.
Well, the problem, like,
but with, I think this being a niche, like, fringe character and book, that necessitates.
I think it helped that it was on during The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Because The Walking Dead fans
will
enjoy this show.
Yeah.
For what it is. It's different. But the cool thing is stuff happens in there that is the same kind of story. Where are we going?
Mm-hmm.
Who are we? You know, and all that. But it's literally, where's God?
Right.
Because what happens to Jesse, literally he has to go find God to find out how to fix himself.
Okay.
And that, so.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, I'm excited to check it out. So.
Thing I can say that I'm hoping that they do, and I really look forward to seeing who they cast, is the Saint of Killers.
Okay.
There's a guy called the Saint of Killers. And if they can get Clint Eastwood to do a TV series, it'll be perfect.
Okay, if they can't get Clint Eastwood.
I don't know. Kurt Russell would be cool, but I don't see him really doing a TV series either.
Okay.
But Kurt Russell, Clint Eastwood, somebody of that niche.
Sure.
Because it I think Ennis was really inspired by Clint Eastwood when he did the character.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way he kind of come off, as the man with no name, but he was literally like, you know, the Saint of Killers.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, so it I think it's going to be a good show.
Cool. Yeah.
AMC producing it can't be a bad
Dominic
show.
Dominic Cooper is actually a really good actor.
Yeah. And the difference in the show, I said, it's kind of funny how they tweak stuff from the comic book to the show. And it's no complaining on my part. I was just like, huh, I wonder why they're going with... In the book, he did not have facial hair at all. And his hair was a lot wilder.
Right.
And I'm like, you know, it's just a little cosmetic thing. So I'm like, maybe it has something to do with the story, though, that they'll tie in.
Yeah.
But I'm sure as hell looking forward to it.
You know, I mean, because he's still on Agent Carter, so maybe it was just kind of a contractual thing where it's like, you know,
who knows, he has a beard on
facial hair, so he's got to keep it. Yeah, okay, so like kind of that's a perfect segue. This week's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yep.
This season has been great.
Yeah, yeah.
I
really enjoyed it.
I actually, like, it's not that I didn't look forward to watching S.H.I.E.L.D., but it was always kind of like, oh, well, I'm going to watch The Flash, and then I'm going to watch iZombie, and then, like, I'll check out The Shield at some point today or tomorrow or whatever.
Tuesday show.
Yeah, and, like, because they have those three, like, comic book shows.
Yeah.
Watching this week, like I jumped right in, mainly because you had a theory which totally paid off.
I said I'm scared of my brain sometimes because of the way it works, and it's literally I was at work just walking down an aisle. I work in a retail or store, and I was literally walking down an aisle and my brain just went, hey, wait a minute, what if such and such is Lash, the Inhuman that's killing all the other Inhumans? And I literally went in the back and called my girlfriend and said,
right,
this character is Lash. And she goes, wait a minute, that sounds like it could be right.
She was like, you're so crazy.
She's like, it's literally like, yeah, she goes, that might be right. And I was right.
You were right. And, you know, not to spoil anything, but the actor that is Lash, like, was way too big of an actor for the role that they had him in. So, you know, that, you know, they're like, hey, you're going to spend this portion doing this, and then you're going to spend this larger portion doing this.
Yeah, we're definitely not going to say who is Lash, but it was one of those things where you're like, totally makes sense.
Makes sense.
Really cool.
And it also makes sense for the story about why certain characters are getting like passes and things that.
So, yeah.
You know, I'm enjoying like the whole Coulson, what's her name? Rosalind.
Yeah. Rosalind.
You know, that whole like relationship, like flirty. Yeah,
it's like flirty, but like I'll kill you if I have to kill you.
Like that's really cool. And then the fact that Coulson has gone into like secret Nick Fury mode, where he's not really sharing with his team, and you know, as we've seen through S.H.I.E.L.D., is, you know, kind of like any Whedon family show, like the ancillary characters, or you know, the co-stars, when they don't get like all the information up front, they feel very slighted very quickly,
right?
It's really, is that what you're gonna do?
But it's like, it was interesting to see that they're giving a little bit more of her origin too. Rosalind's.
Yeah.
You know, talking about her husband.
Mm-hmm.
Having him die in a violent way, just cancer's a bitch.
Yeah.
And she literally says that, cancer's a bitch. What did you think about Powers Booth showing up after he had been in the first Avengers and was part of the council?
Yeah.
And so I wonder if he's playing the same character.
I assume that he's a
Hydra.
Was.
He was Hydra the whole time.
So I assume that, he was the same character.
Yeah.
And that's kind of why he was kind of off the grid.
Yeah, he wasn't in the really second one. Yeah, the Captain America stuff and that. So that was interesting to see him show up.
It was. And I really like Powers Booth.
Yeah.
He's always fun. He was great in Tombstone.
Mm-hmm.
There was a...
Red Dawn.
Red Dawn. And then he was really good in Rapid Fire with Brandon Lee.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So as the cop who takes some art student and like throws him to the wolves, basically. It's like, you're the worst cop ever.
That's Powers Booth.
Yeah, exactly. Shield's gotten really, really good. One thing I did want to call out about Arrow, though.
Yeah.
Is Constantine was on, right? And he sends them out for a whole list of things, and Thea comes back and she's got her, Felicity comes back and she's got a dead peacock feather.
Yeah.
And she hands it to him. She goes, well, what do you need this for? And he goes, oh, nothing. And he reaches it down the back of his shirt and scratches his back. And he goes, oh, I've been trying to get at that itch forever. And so just kind of, you know, NBC to the NBC. Is the Peacock Network. You know, they have a peacock logo. It was really fun.
Yeah, that's
nice. It was a very subtle middle finger.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Could you
see, and like, you know, obviously that series ended on NBC, but could you see CW picking it up?
You know, I no.
Okay.
It doesn't have the same like CW look and feel.
Right.
Like it would have to do some really generous like retooling.
Right.
And I think that would do more harm than good to the character.
Okay.
I think using him, if they can,
right,
to pop into Arrow, pop into Flash, right, pop into Legends of Tomorrow.
Right.
You know, it's just kind of a great tool in their toolbox.
Sure. Yeah.
Of a character that they have the rights to, a character that's popular, and a character that will boost ratings when you need him to come on.
Legends of Tomorrow actually would be a cool idea because you could bring him on for storylines, because I could see that being like, you know, DC Comics Presents, where it's like certain people team up with the team or whatever.
And so today there was actually, it was released that the crossover is going to be a for real two-part episode this time. It's not going to be an episode that happens and then an episode that happens. It's going to be watch Tuesday night, watch Wednesday night.
Okay, cool.
And
in November, I'm assuming?
In November.
We're in November, right. But in November.
It's going to be kind of the backdoor introduction to Legends. Vandal Savage for Legends. And then the next week, we'll get the mid-season finales of each show.
Cool.
So we're going to get Legends of Tomorrow set up.
And then it starts in February, right?
We'll have the mid-season. Yeah, I think into January.
Yeah,
because
something like that.
The shows aren't coming back necessarily at the same time as they normally do.
Right.
You know, I really wish they would go with like what Agent Carter did and start, you know, middle of December, take a couple weeks for Christmas, finish it out, start, you know.
Yeah, Agent Carter ran right at the beginning of January all the way through February.
It was like 6 weeks. And
it didn't feel like we were really like in a break. It just felt like it was a different part of the story.
It was fun. And you know, like I would hope that they're going to do this the same way. I don't think they
are,
though.
Yeah.
Because I think it's 13 episodes.
I think you're right,
Whereas Agent Carter was, what, eight?
Eight episodes.
Six? Yeah. But
which I don't know if this upcoming season's eight or more.
I hope so. That was like the perfect number.
Yeah. It could be more, but if it's even 10, it'll be fine.
But yeah,
I'd like to see a little bit more crossover with S.H.I.E.L.D.
I think we'll see that moving forward, because the building that they're in now, you see that old S.H.I.E.L.D. SS, whatever logo.
SSR.
SSR, thank you.
Yeah.
You see that old SSR logo on the brick wall.
Right.
So I'm hoping that they do that.
We'll see.
It'd be cool if she actually recruited Coulson.
Yeah. I'm sure that's the way they'll go, because obviously with her showing up in Ant-Man, it's like, you know, she was around for a long time as a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. So, you know, head of S.H.I.E.L.D., I guess you would say.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. All right. So we've been teasing this for a couple weeks. The all new, all different from Marvel. The one issue I have with this, and I mentioned it last week, is that Secret Wars isn't done yet.
Right.
And there are things that, like, you get the feeling reading some of these, like, early books that this isn't the story. the way it's going to go.
You mean like the way it's set up?
Or... Yeah, because like we don't have the fallout from Secret Wars completely yet.
Right.
Like you're not caught up on Secret Wars, or did you get caught up?
No, I didn't get caught up because I was reading.
So we learned something about Ben Grimm at the end of issue 6.
Right, which is the one where he's fighting Galactus on the cover. Is that
issue 6? That might have been a variant. I don't know. Okay. But and then issue 7, just the which comes out next week, we learn more about family, the Fantastic Four.
All right.
And like where they are and all of this. We know characters are missing. We don't know why.
In the current all new, eight months later.
Right. So like
literally a couple of the books actually have 8 months later at the beginning. And it's like
unfortunately, you know, Hickman couldn't stick to the schedule.
Well, yeah.
Because it was originally supposed to be a bi-monthly, not twice a month book. And I mean, they've added a 9th issue to it.
Right.
It's not gonna be done until probably February. At this point,
he said December, but it's behind. Not, unless they pump it out,
are like, they gonna? They're not gonna put 3 issues out in 3 weeks.
They could. I mean, they're doing it with Star Wars and that.
So. Well, but I mean, that's also, you know, people who are the people doing like the Star Wars books and you know some of the X-Men books and things like that. They're people who don't have a history of being late on everything. Yeah. Like, So
well, and that's part of the problem is they put somebody on a book who actually has a history of. Doing that, but he was the one who had the idea.
And that's great. Like he, maybe what they should have done is had him like story it and then have someone else script it.
Yeah.
But you know, but they're in what we printed out like 4 pages of books.
There's 3 full pages and then 1 book.
Probably what a solid like 40 books on this list, maybe more.
Looks like it, yeah.
So what I want to do is kind of start with some of the ones that are out that we've picked up. And then talk about some of the ones we're interested in.
Right.
Counting.
Yeah, I actually am, and I'm already up to 27.
Yeah, so somewhere between 40 and 60 books.
Yeah.
All right.
And 40 or 60 books at, what, $2.99 to
$4.99? $3.99. I think they're almost all $3.99 now.
Yeah, I think, what, Amazing Spider-Man was $4.99.
The first one.
Iron Man, the first one was $4.99.
Yeah. So, all right. So, like, let's start with Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Dan Slott and Giuseppe
Comunicoli.
Comunicoli. Sure. Yeah,
that's what it looks like. Sorry if we mispronounced your name.
You know, it picks up where like pre-Secret Wars kind of left off.
It seems like everything's picking up. Like this happened, but nobody. Is acknowledging it happened
yet? Yeah,
yeah. Like nothing's really tied to it.
So my big problem.
You were telling me that there was stuff going on before Secret Wars with this book.
That it's kind of picked up from there. Like my big problem with this Spider-Man book right now, and you know, Spider-Man is my favorite Marvel character. Is between this and the Invincible Iron Man book, it's indistinguishable about who is Tony Stark. Like Peter, like the only difference
they
is
literally
Peter Parker
refer to him as poor man's,
yeah,
poor man's Tony Stark.
He doesn't have
book.
Facial
yeah.
hair. You know, it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, it's great to see Peter like being successful, but at the same time, let him be Peter Parker,
right?
And don't make him a poor man's Tony Stark,
right?
Now,
I never seen Peter Parker as the type who would be running a corporation anyway.
Well, and that was the thing. It's like at the end, like pre-Secret Wars, he was running Parker Industries into the ground.
Right.
And now all of a sudden, you know, eight months later, it's, you know, the tech company.
Literally, it is the Secret Wars complaint where it's what happened to make these people where they are now. Because of the fact that you said that Tony Stark was still bad before pre-Secret
Wars. It was
Wars.
Still from Axis and now with he's the like Superior Spider-Man. And not only is he back to being good, but like he's kind of like Peter was before where he questions himself.
Right.
The Invincible Iron Man book, I do have to say, has been a lot of fun to
read the first in. Issue.
Issue 3 came out this week.
So you've read it all.
3 issues in. It's been really cool.
It was a cool ending to the first issue. I mean... and I'm going to say it because it's obviously been out for a little while. Dr. Doom shows up and he does not have anything but the one little scar on his face.
Yep. And he's super magical.
And I'm like, okay, so obviously it's like, did God Doom give all these people their wishes?
Yeah.
At the end of this whole thing, and his wish was to be a sorcerer supreme.
Right.
Obviously.
Yeah, I just really worry that like we're gonna get to the end of Secret Wars.
Yeah.
And it's either going to ruin kind
what's,
of
what's going on,
going
right,
on,
yeah.
Or it's going to just be like, really?
Yeah. Really? Like it's gonna blow up in our faces.
Yeah. I will say in this issue 3 yeah. of Invincible Iron Man, which, you know, I mean, we already have 3 issues of Invincible Iron Man.
Right.
In a month. Yet we still have 3 issues of
it's been
Secret Wars to come. Yeah. Yeah, that guy's a writing machine.
I was gonna say he's writing like most of the books on the list, isn't he?
There is an awesome just page of Tony and Doctor Strange, which I posted on our Facebook page.
Okay.
Where Tony's in the Iron Man gear and he's holding his hand up for like a high five, and he's got his like mouth open, like yeah, yeah, yeah. And Doctor Strange is ignoring him.
Is it Strange or Doom?
Strange.
Okay.
So, and finally, Doctor Strange gives him a high five, and then in the last panel, Tony's like, "Yes, facial hair, bros." So nice. It's like, so I left the question: what's the better set of bros? Science bros with Stark and Banner, or facial nice. Hair bros with Stark and Strange? You know, so of the ones that are out, so we have Amazing Spider-Man, we have Angela, Queen of Hell, which I got, but I haven't read yet.
Did not get that one.
So I don't know if it's picking up on the Angela Secret Wars book or Angela Asgardian Assassin.
Right.
Which was pre-Secret Wars. Astonishing Ant-Man, Scott Lang, picking up pretty much where it left off.
Oh, okay.
Which is fine.
Yeah, some of these books you read on a normal basis. And
I mean, I was reading Ant-Man before.
Right,
because the Scott Lang Ant-Man was really, really interesting. Angela Queen of Hell is Marguerite Bennett, Kim
Jacinto,
and Stephanie Hans. It's a beautiful book. Like, the art and everything.
It's pretty amazing
is
that
beautiful.
They have an all-female crew.
Yeah, for a female character.
Yeah.
Astonishing Ant-Man is Nick Spencer and
Ramon Rosanas.
Oh, sorry, Ramon.
Yep.
Dyslexic moment.
No problem.
And that's the same group that was writing it pre-Secret Wars.
Okay.
The other book.
So that book's just continuing on.
Yeah,
man.
Pretty much.
Just...
Sam Wilson, Captain America, is the other is another one of the ones that's out. That
have you read that one?
I'm current on that one as well.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't read.
So
I'm
Sam
picking
Wilson,
up at least the first issues
Falcon
of these books.
Is now Captain America, which he's been Captain America, but he's not affiliated with S.H.I.E.L.D. anymore.
Okay.
He's
independent.
Yeah, and there's been a bunch of hullabaloo about this one with Fox News going after this book, saying that Captain America is going after conservatives.
Okay.
Because in the first issue, he stopped a bunch of terrorists from killing a bunch of illegal immigrants.
Okay.
Which is like, he's doing something, you know, you don't want to.
It's Captain America.
Yeah. He's going to save people.
Right.
You know, so.
It's the problem and complaint that I've had about comic books for a while is too much reality.
Yeah.
You know, make this world a different world.
The person who's killing the immigrants is King Serpent. It's not like
person. I was going to say, then you're getting into the fantastical there.
So, I mean, there's that. And then Misty Knight is in the book as his like second in command.
Okay.
And she's pretty badass.
She was part of the Fearless Defenders before Secret Wars, right?
So it's a good, it's been really good so far. I've been pleasantly surprised.
And that's what, Nick Spencer and Daniel Acuna?
Yep.
Okay.
And then Contest of Champions.
Yes.
So let's just kind of bust through some of these real quick. So we both got Contest of Champions number one. I did not get
you didn't get
two.
Number two, and I picked it up, but I haven't read it yet.
Deadpool number one came out. That's Jerry Duggan and Mike Hawthorne, who've been doing Deadpool forever now.
Right. Oh, and Contest of Champions is Al Ewing and Paco Medina.
I did not get Deadpool number one.
Never a character I've been interested in, so
they're like Deadpool's the new Wolverine.
Yeah.
He's in everything, so I'm kind of actively
or the new Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so Doctor Strange, one and two are out. That's Jason Aaron and Chris Bacchio.
Bacchello,
sorry. It's a weird font. The first book was awesome. Yeah. The second book looks just as good.
I enjoyed reading the first issue.
I'm really excited. I haven't bought a Doctor Strange comic in probably 15 years.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I'm like, oh, you're going to make me buy a book that I'm, you know, I don't want to buy, but I like Chris Pacello's art.
I mean, for a character who...
Jason Aaron is like a really kick-ass writer. He is. You know, if you've read, he had a good Vertigo book too, Scalp.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Chris Pacello's been around forever, and man, his art is just... It's weird, but it's cool looking.
Yeah. Then we have Drax, which is written by CM Punk, the former WWE, now UFC fighter, and Cullen Bunn, with art by Scott Hepburn.
Did you pick that one up?
I did pick it up just because of CM Punk and being a wrestling fan. I haven't read it yet.
Okay.
Extraordinary X-Men, Jeff Lemire, and Humberto Ramos.
Yep.
Loved it. Loved.
Yeah.
But I'm an X fan. Like, I've, you know.
Yeah,
like,
you are an X fan. I'm picking up stuff that sounds interesting and stuff where either I like the writer or the artist. So it's like, obviously, the writer and the artist on this book are people that I like. So I was like, I'm not a big X-Men fan, but I'm like, I'll check it out.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to more of it.
And this is, this, I'm getting them mixed up now. Is this the one with Storm?
Yes.
And Old Man Logan. Is another, I think another reason why I picked up was Old Man Logan.
In the young Jean Grey.
Yeah. So the new X-Men Jean Grey. Right. So it's like,
and so the all new Jean Grey and the Old Man Logan, it's like, this is like the perviest thing ever.
And that one just came out this week. Right?
Just this week. Yeah,
yeah. I haven't had a chance to read that.
And then Guardians of the Galaxy.
Brian Michael Bendis
and Valerio.
Be careful how you pronounce that.
Shoddy? So this is the one where Kitty Pryde is Star-Lord.
Yeah, just read this today, actually.
Peter Quill, Star-Lord, is now the Emperor of Spartax. Picking up where the Guardians left off.
Okay.
And it's also kept that Black Mirror thing that they did.
Yeah, I didn't read that.
So, like, Gamora is still a cosmic being now.
Okay.
So, it was good. Like,
I liked the beginning of it being Ben Grimm.
Yeah.
So you're like, okay, this is different.
Right.
You know, so, because Ben Grimm obviously was not
the thing. Ben Grimm and Agent Venom are part of the Guardians now. Rocket is the leader.
Yeah, that was cool.
Which is like Rocket in the movie is this cute, adorable little badass. Rocket in the comics is a psycho.
Yeah.
And him being in charge has got to be the most terrifying thing for any of them.
Right, yeah.
Not being in charge.
Yeah, it's pretty much, it seems like he just, like, Peter left and he went, this is my team now.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's, like, Peter went off to be the Emperor and, like, kind of against his will.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't want to do it. Right. He wants to be out there stealing stuff.
Yeah, he's very bored. And I'm, you know, I haven't been keeping up on the pre-
Yeah.
Secret War stuff, but I'm like, as soon as I started reading, I'm like, yeah, he doesn't want to be where he is.
And then the whole thing with him and Kitty Pryde, where they got engaged at the end of the last series, and that carried into Secret Wars, because he was one of the characters who remembered everything. Yeah. So they're kind of on the outs. Like, they're not, like, broke up, but they're not, like, talking.
Right.
And so I'm really interested to find out what's going on in Secret Wars.
Right, yeah.
Because there was a great Star-Lord and Kitty Pryde Secret Wars.
Yeah, you said you really enjoyed the miniseries.
But it wasn't that Kitty Pryde.
Yeah, it was that different universe's Kitty Pryde. Not the main Marvel universe's Kitty Pryde. It was one of the variant universes.
Yep. So, so, you know, it's been good. Let's see. Did Howard the Duck come out yet? I don't think it did.
I'm not sure.
Okay. Howard the Duck is one. It's Chip Zdarsky and Joe Quiñones on the art.
Will you be checking that out?
I will definitely check that out.
You're a fan of Chip, so.
Yeah, I really like Chip Zdarsky.
I just noticed one that I got yesterday and I haven't had a chance to read, Hercules.
Oh, yeah, that's
Dan Abnett and Luke Roth.
Yeah, so I saw that. I didn't get it. Oh, real quick, on the Drax, I did get the Scotty Young cover.
Okay.
It was a really cool cover, too, but all right.
Hercules was just one of those things where, you know, I'm on off and on fan of that character, but I was curious to see what Dan Abnett will do with it.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Cool. Okay, then Invincible Iron Man, we already talked about that. That's Brian Michael Bendis and David Marquez doing the art. I already kind of gushed about that book already. And
right.
You like the first issue.
Yeah.
From what I understand is this is Marvel's every intention of this book being their flagship book.
That was the one thing where I read it and I'm like, this didn't feel like a flagship book. Yeah.
It's very isolated to Tony and like kind of who he needs to talk to.
This is one where I think that I might just pick it up as trades. Yeah. I don't think I'll be picking up like single issues of this.
Yeah.
A lot of them. Amazing Spider-Man seems like it might be the same way where it's like, you know, I enjoyed it, but I don't think I'll be picking it up.
Yeah. Well,
I just want to try the number ones out.
There's
see
two other Spider-Man books coming out too. So,
right.
All right. Then we have Karnak, which is out, which is Warren Ellis and Gerardo Zaffino
is what I would say.
Yeah. Karnak from the Inhumans.
Right.
So I posed this question on Twitter. Like, I'm not interested in Karnak.
Right.
Like, it's just a character that never interested me.
Right.
As much as I've enjoyed the Inhumans over the years. Is Warren Ellis enough of a reason? Is he still relevant enough to pick up this kind of a book?
I said no.
Yeah, I said no with my dollars.
Well, I'm a Warren Ellis fan, and I did not pick it up, so.
So, yeah, so it's out. Check it out. If you guys liked it, let us know. Nova number one just came out.
Yeah.
This is going to be a really interesting book. As the cosmic stuff has been starting to pick up for Marvel again, which has been great for a sci-fi fan like myself. We have both Sam and Richard Rider as Novas.
Okay.
So that opens up a whole new realm.
The whole
of storytelling
family realm and everything. Yeah.
You know, so that's exciting. Let's see. Still ones that are already out. Spider-Gwen. It's a whole new number one. I got the first one. Spider-Gwen's a character I'm not super crazy about.
Right.
I think she worked better as part of like the Web Warriors team.
Right, yeah.
Than she does on her own book.
Yeah, like I said to you before we started recording, it's not a character where I'm like, I don't think she needs to have a book. Right. I think it's just
She's
a
the hot
character
property.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
And it's Jason Latour and Robbie Rodriguez as a creative team on that one. And then we have Spider-Man 2099, which you and I are huge fans of Miguel O'Hara.
And you're keeping the same writer who created him.
Yeah. Peter
on
David.
The book. So, you know, even though I haven't read the previous incarnation of the book.
Yeah.
I'm still like, I read the first issue and I'm like, this is the same guy that I read, you know, 15 years ago. And it's like, yeah, it definitely has the same feel, except he's in modern day Marvel Universe.
I've really like enjoyed the resurrection of Spider-Man 2099 over the last year. The first issue was good.
Right.
The second issue, you see where this series is going to go. And it has me.
And I do have the second issue.
And it
issue.
Has me really, really excited.
I did like the thing in the first issue where he's trying to get back to his 2099 and he keeps walking through the gateway and 2099's messed up.
Yeah. And he's got
to trying to figure out
why.
Right.
And it's the whole Alchemex thing.
Right. Well, it's cool that you have a story and, you know, obviously because it's a book I like, it's cool to have a story where it's a long-term story and you're going to do stories that happen in the sixth issue arcs.
Well, and he's working for Peter.
Right.
So he's a part of Parker Industries.
Right.
Peter's been in both books, one and two already.
Right. Well, Peter recruited every Spider-Man that exists.
But he's not, he doesn't show up as Spider-Man. He shows up as Peter Parker.
Right. And he shouldn't show up as Spider-Man in every book.
So,
for many reasons. I mean,
So that's Peter David as the writer and Will Sliney.
Yeah, I think that's
On the art, and it's beautiful.
It's a good looking
and
book.
The new costume design, which I know you and I were kind of iffy about, looks really, really good on page.
Okay,
like, especially in like the action shots, and you know the old costume is still there. So, you know, I don't think by
it
any
makes
means...
sense to me to do that to just say this is a new book, but you know,
yeah. And then I think Spider-Woman came out already.
I don't know.
Yeah, because she's pregnant. That one's been out. Okay, so Spider-Woman, and that's Dennis Hopeless and Javier Rodriguez. Obviously, I'm saying I think it came out, so I didn't pick it up.
Right.
If it did come
out... Not really interested in that character either.
I want to like get past the pregnancy thing and get back to her being a hero.
Right.
And having a kid. Like, that, to me, is interesting. Her being pregnant and...
But they kind of did it before with Jessica Jones.
Right.
I mean, you know.
All right, so then The Unbeatable Squirrel Girl. has another number one. They just had a number one a few weeks ago, and they have another number one now.
No interest whatsoever.
That's Ryan North and Eric Henderson for writer and artist. You know, I don't know a lot about Squirrel Girl. I know she's one of those, like, very popular, like, heroes of the moment right now. She showed up on the Ultimate Spider-Man Web Warriors.
Well, she's in one of the X-books, too.
Yeah, so...
And I read that X book, and I'm just like, yeah, this character doesn't really interest me at all.
Yeah, my daughter likes that book. Well, she likes the character, so I'm getting it for
It seems
her.
Like it's more of a character that's written for younger...
It's not an all-ages book, right? Like, so I have to, like, preview it first before I let her see it. But so, yeah, then there's Uncanny Avengers, which is Jerry Dugan and Ryan Stegman. This is the team that Steve Rogers... handpicked, where it's Rogue and Deadpool and Johnny Storm and a couple of new Inhumans. I liked the first issue, not enough to keep getting the book.
No.
I wasn't crazy about the art. I wasn't crazy about the story.
No, it was interesting, but it's another one where I would pick the trade up and read the trade or Comixology sale or whatever.
And the whole thing with Rogue and the Terrigen Mist and that kind of stuff, the Terrigen Cloud. Like, that's not, like, that should be played out in, like, an X-Men book, not necessarily an Uncanny Avengers book. Uncanny.
Well, the problem is, it's like, looking at the list, there's less X-Men books than there are Avengers books at this point.
And I think that's a little bit of a problem, but that's because I'm an X-Men fan.
Right.
So the next one is Uncanny Inhumans. It's Charles Soule and Steve McNiven. I picked this one up. I read it. There's something really, really awesome that happens in the last panel that has me excited for the second issue.
Yeah.
Beyond that, I don't know.
Okay.
So
I liked it. And, you know, I'm not an Inhumans fan at all. I just like the way it read.
Right. Yeah. It read really
well. I mean, it really pulled you into the story. And you're like, even me not knowing what was going on, obviously I went and checked afterwards.
Right.
But yeah, it was one of those things where I'm like, okay, this was just a good book.
Yeah. And then the last one that's already out is Vision number one, or The Vision, however you want to say it.
Right.
Where the Vision creates his own Vision family, where he goes back to the lab where he was created, uses the little hibernation chamber, and creates his own family. It's interesting. I'm going to get the second one because of the way the first one ends.
I didn't have interest because I don't care for that character.
It looks
that much.
Really cool. And again, like, you know, I'm getting these books to try them out.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I had a good, like I had a good run of Marvel books that I had been getting for the last couple years.
Yeah.
That are all gone now for the most part.
True.
Or all different. Cause like where is Cyclops in all of this? You know,
which
like something happens
the
to Cyclops
book that
in
came
Secret
out
War.
This week.
Well, that was Uncanny X-Men 600.
And that tells.
And no, that just ends.
That ends that story
it has
with
nothing
him.
To, it's all pre Secret
Wars.
And
what is it? All new X-Men. There's the Cult of Cyclops.
Is that the new one?
The new one that's coming out. Yeah. I've seen a picture of that. I'm like, that's kind of a cool idea.
Something happens to Cyclops
in Secret Wars.
Secret Wars that I think you've got to that point already.
Yeah, I did get to that
point. Okay, so, which is like, okay, like, first off, screw you, Marvel. Second off, like, really? Like,
was it just for the fact of
just how
who he had become?
Yeah, well, yeah, first off, like, you know, I'm going to do a minor spoiler here. Seeing him go back to being the Phoenix Cyclops and then being in total control of it was, like, ridiculous. Because he went... When the whole AVX thing happened and he had, you know, 1/5 of it, he couldn't control.
My question.
And then when
is,
he took the whole thing in, he kills Professor X because he can't control it. And then here he is like, oh, you know, I've got godlike powers too.
Right. Who the hell lets the Phoenix on the lifeboat?
Yeah.
Why the hell would you let, you know, an entity that wants to destroy the universe?
Well, not only that, but like an entity that wants to destroy the universe. Inhabiting a mutant who's hell-bent on revolution and saving his people at all costs.
Right.
So, now,
I'm curious to see where the character will show up.
For Uncanny 600, it was a six-month wait.
Right.
Between 599 or whatever the other number
I picked it up out of just curiosity.
It was a huge disappointment.
Okay.
As someone who I have every Uncanny X-Men for the last like 3 or 4 years.
Okay.
It was a book I thoroughly enjoyed. It was a great X-Men book that had nothing to do with Wolverine.
Right.
A lot of really cool current Magneto. The whole thing with Dazzler and Mystique.
Right.
And, you know, like.
Just bringing in characters that haven't been used a lot.
The way S.H.I.E.L.D. and the mutants were kind of butting heads.
Right.
You know, it was a really good, well-written, like, well-written book. The art wasn't great, but it was forgivable because it was a good book.
Now, did you miss one on the list?
I think
you did because I put the star next to one. The New Avengers.
Oh, is that one out?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the one that Squirrel Girl is part of.
Yeah, so yeah, I missed that one.
Yeah, AIM is an Avengers now, and it's Sunspot from the X-Men books running it.
Oh, yeah.
The only reason I got this one is because in a character that I've liked for years, Songbird from Thunderbolts, from the original run of Thunderbolts, I seen her on the cover, and I'm like, oh, okay, I haven't seen her in a while.
Cool.
So that was one, and the Unbeatable Squirrel Girls on that team.
Yeah.
It's a weird mixed team.
Huh. I'll have to.
Hawkeye shows up.
Okay. Well, next time I go in, I'll just pick it up and leaf through it.
Yeah. It's Al Ewing and Gerardo Sandoval.
Cool.
On that one.
Oh, and the Vision is Tom King and Gabriel Hernandez Walta. Huh. So yeah. Okay. So the ones that are not yet out.
That we actually know of.
That we know of, because they keep announcing more and
more. Oh, yeah.
So, which is fine. It's great. They got to have books in the pipeline. A-Force, it's G. Willow Wilson and Jorge Molina. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Mark Guggenheim and German
Peralta.
All new, all different Avengers. Mark Waid with...
Mama Asrar and Adam Kubert. I'm assuming Kubert's going to be doing covers.
That's what I'm guessing.
Yeah.
I'll probably check that one out.
That one was the one that was the free comic book day.
Oh, then I have checked it.
Yeah,
out.
Yeah. You've actually, I mean, if you went to free comic book day, this was the book that Marvel was giving out where it had Miles Morales, Thor, Sam Wilson, and I forget who else was on that team, but it was a preview book.
The female Thor.
Yeah, so it's Jane Foster.
Not Thor Odinson.
Right.
He
hasn't shown up yet, so I'm curious to see where they go with that.
Then we have All New Hawkeye, Volume 2, which is Jeff Lemire and Ramon Perez. Did you read the Hawkeye book pre-Secret Wars? It got rave reviews.
Yeah, it seemed like a very popular book, but it's one of those things where, and it's another thing, being a comic book fan, you have only so much money to buy on so many books. And, you know, Hawkeye's never been a character where I'm like, I love this character.
Yeah.
I mean, it's literally one of those things where I'm looking at these books and I'm going, okay, I might check that out because such and such is in it. I might check that out because this writer's writing it.
Right.
And it's like All New, All Different Avengers. Mark Waid's writing it. Always been a favorite.
Check out a Mark Waid book.
Jeff Lemire writing All New Hawkeye. Maybe I'll buy the trade when it comes out.
Well, and the thing with Hawkeye with this resurgence
is
like this is a direct correlation to Jeremy Renner's role in the movie and having a Hawkeye book that is a Hawkeye that's similar to that version.
Right. Yeah.
So, which is great. And you know, we wholeheartedly support it. I don't buy the book because I don't care for the character.
Right. And
like, if I'm going to spend my money on an Archer, I'm gonna buy green.
Right, you're more of a Green Arrow guy.
But
well, and it's one of those things where I sent you a message the other day, and I'm like, you know, it looks like the Avengers are becoming the X-Men.
Yeah,
like literally, there's 7 Avengers books, I think, counting the singular characters that were part of the original Avengers.
Yeah,
you know, from the '60s up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Vision, the Hawkeye, you know, those characters were there near the beginning.
Yeah.
So it's like one of those things where you're like, okay, how many Avengers? I think I said to you, if I threw a rock in the Marvel Universe, I would hit an Avenger.
Better than likely chance, absolutely.
Right. And that's like, you know, not that I like the X-Men or Avengers more over the other, but I'm like, wow, it just seems like every X-Men is an Avenger now.
Right. All right, so
why do we need an Avenger or X-Men book? Let's just call it the X-Avengers. And
the X-Avengers.
X-Avengers, yeah.
The Avengement.
Oh, God. We've gone too far at this point.
And then they'll shorten it to just the Amen.
The Amen, yeah, there you go.
All right, so then we have All New Inhumans, Charles Soule, James Asmus, and Stefano Caselli.
So he's writing both Inhumans.
Yeah. Books. So hopefully they tie together.
I was going to say that it's going to be a giant crossover book.
We have an all new Wolverine, Tom Taylor and David Lopez. This I don't know if that's X-23. Logan or is X-23.
It's okay. X-23 because I've seen the cover of one of them, and it's her on the cover wearing Wolverine's old costume.
Okay.
So
I may check that one out. All new X-Men Volume 2, Dennis Hopeless, Mark Bagley. I'm going to get it because Mark Bagley.
Yeah.
I have my signed Mark Bagley Spider-Man up
right,
there.
Right, yeah.
You know, and, like, I want to see, is this the five or, you know, whatever, the ones of the five that are left
right.
to come to the future? Are they featured? Is this the one that's the Cult of Cyclops?
From what I've seen, the pictures, it's like, I think it's just, we got the Marvel previews here, so I'm just going to flip through real fast and see if I can find that cover. They actually are being good about this, too, and separating it out by X-Men and Guardians and everything. So
separate it by the teams.
Deadpool count as an X-Men.
He's a mutant, so I guess so. I wonder when they're gonna retcon him to be an Inhuman.
That could happen. This all-new X-Men cover has the all-new Wolverine on the cover, so she must be part of the team.
Yeah.
Which,
and she was wasn't part she of the team, part of the team end near too. The end? Like okay, her yeah. and her and Angel had a thing going on.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
All right. Black Knight, Frank Thierry, and Luca.
Pizzari.
Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry.
You know, so Black Knight is an Avenger character from a long time
exactly.
ago.
Exactly. Here we go. Another Avenger. And it's one of those things where now they're doing ones where I'm going to say it and I'm not being negative, but who cares? Who cares? I mean, somebody likes Black Knight.
We're both
going to
check it out. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, but like Black Knight is kind of like one of those fringe characters that like.
I just wish they do a book. Like at the end of Amazing Spider-Man, there's a preview of all the Spider books.
Yep.
And there's ones where I was like, okay, I'm going to read that now just because of that preview.
Right.
Why at the end of like one of the Avengers books didn't they have a preview of Black Knight and Vision and Hawkeye? Because those are Avenger characters. And some people are just going to look and go, who cares? It's Black Knight.
I think that's the reason why.
Yeah.
They want to just introduce the book and have it come out. Okay.
I might not buy it. I don't know.
So then we have Black Panther by Ta-Nehisi Coates and Brian Stelfreeze. We've talked about this one on the podcast in the past.
I'm more interested in this just because I like Black Panther.
This will be an interesting book.
You know, I've picked up books over the years.
You know, the Black Panther movie coming out, the reintroduction of, you know, Wakanda in this character. There hasn't been a lot of him in Secret Wars.
Well, and you have an African-American writer.
Yeah, a prolific African-American writer.
Writing it. So it's going to be one of those things where it'll be worth it to check it out to see a different person's vision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because like, obviously it's been white writers writing it for years, and it's like to see a black man writing a black man and see where it goes is going to be interesting.
Yes. Okay, then we have Black Widow, Mark Waid, Chris Samnee,
Somni,
whatever. Yeah. Another Avenger book. I'm not interested. Like, I like Black Widow in the movies.
Yeah.
I am not at all. Like even in the cartoons, like the Avengers Assemble.
Yeah.
Like, where she was like the dual agent there for a while. Like, no interest.
Okay.
Avengers Assemble, no interest. You know, like, I think it, for me, it has more to do with Scarlett Johansson being awesome.
Right.
Than it does the character.
Do you think that's why they put Mark Waid on the book, just because it's a strong writer?
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, we'll see. You know what? I will get the number one just because like I want to check this stuff out. But all right. Blade, Tim Seeley, and Logan Barber. Tim Seeley, who writes Grayson.
Yeah.
So
will you pick it up because of that?
I probably will, because I tend to follow writers.
Sure.
I like the character of Blade.
Do you just mainly follow writers? Like,
for the most part,
any artists?
I follow some. Like, I'll follow
Mark
Bagley,
right?
I'll follow Ramos.
Okay.
Let's see who else. That's about it.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, you know, as long as the book's well written, I can overlook the art.
Right.
You know,
but if you see Fiona like an
Staples,
awesome,
like Fiona Staples, like I got Archie sure. because
right.
like it was Mark Waid and Fiona Staples. Right. Like that was just a dream.
So
team.
Yeah,
it's
if
like,
you
I'm
see an
gonna...
awesome writer and an artist yeah. that you like together, you're more bound to buy the book.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I typically like Brian K. Vaughan. I get pretty much sure. all of his okay. books. Greg Rucka. Oh, anything he's done. You know, so yeah. Like, I get a lot of Bendis stuff just because when I got back into comics back in the early 2000s,
right.
it was like the only, he was...
Bendis was the man
he was
back
the one,
then.
He was the one writer. So...
Well, that was the early days of Powers yeah. and, you know.
And I love Powers. So,
sure, yeah.
All right, so Blade. And then there's Captain Marvel, which is Tara Butters and Michelle...
Fazekas
with Chris Anka on the art.
And another female team on a female book.
Yep.
Now, here's a question for you. And, you know, I'm going to go into it a little bit.
Sure.
Why do we need an all-female team on an all-female book? And why do we need a black writer on a black character book? It's like, are they doing it for the publicity? Or, you know, are they doing it because they feel like that character needs that voice?
I think that's part of it.
Okay.
They feel like that. I think Black Panther has been a character that has been sorely missed.
Right. Yeah.
In the, you know, kind of top three, like, you know, if there's a trinity, you know, of, you know, it used to be Cap, Thor, and Hulk.
Right.
Right? Now it's Iron Man, Thor, and Captain America. Like, Thor's a boring character.
Yeah.
If you can get Black Panther back to like the pinnacle of what he should
right,
be.
Right, yeah, he's the king of a nation.
Yeah. Then you have Cap.
Well, yeah, and that's Black what Panther, I want to you know, I'm going to pick it up, but yeah. my idea of Black Panther has always been he is the king of a nation.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Aquaman. They're
or
the
Namor
king
or,
yeah, yeah, they're the so. Kings of nations. So, I don't want to just see them dealing with superhero stuff.
I want to
see them dealing with, like, you know, why is this, what's wrong with the country?
And that's, I think, why Aquaman has always struggled, because
they never acknowledge that.
Well, and they don't, they always have him, like, fighting, like, oh, I don't want to be the king of Atlantis.
Yeah.
I want to live up here with my girlfriend and the Justice
League. Right, yeah.
You know, it's like, no, embrace it, dude. Like, you know.
And that's exactly what I want to see
and
from
Black
one of these
Panther
books
has always embraced that.
Right.
Like, it's always been Wakanda, like not first, but like Wakanda's always like up there.
Yeah.
Captain Marvel, you know, I think with the character of Captain Marvel, as long as they understand like science fiction and like the cosmic and like Kree,
yeah,
know, it doesn't matter who writes her.
Right.
You know, a more feminine voice, sure. Like
right.
give it like let's you know, part of this all new, all different. Like, if you go down through this, there's a whole bunch of new diversity.
Yeah, well, yeah.
There's a whole bunch of new writers. There's
and
new
old
artists
writers that are like, and, you know, they haven't been
old
around
writers
for
that
a
are
writer.
Writing different books.
Yeah.
You know, this is Marvel's, I think, ultimate proving ground right now. Like,
well, yeah.
You
that's
want
like
to talk
the next book?
You
Carnage.
Want to talk about a battle world? Like looking down this
oh, yeah.
list of
Definitely.
Artists and writers, this is a battle world going on where like. If you succeed, you're getting another book.
Right.
If you fail, goodbye.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, so Carnage.
Jerry Conway. It's like
I haven't heard that name in years.
I was going to say, he hasn't been around for a while.
And
I don't care for the character Carnage, but I'm like, I might check it out just because
I'll
of Jerry Conway.
I'll get the first
Conway.
One because of Jerry Conway. And then Mike Perkins is the art.
Right.
We have Daredevil coming back. And they just released some images of that. He's in the all black with the red D's.
Oh, nice.
So,
okay.
And that's Charles Soule.
They're beating him to death. Marvel's taking advantage of Charles Soule.
Yeah. and Ron Garney.
That's what I didn't know Ron Garney was doing the art, so I'll be picking up Daredevil.
So then we have Gamora with Nicole Perlman and Francesco
Mattina.
Yeah. You know, again, Gamora, a character who I'm interested to see how she does on her own.
Right.
She's always been a part of a team for the most part, or has been like Thanos's daughter.
Right.
So seeing her, and especially if she has the cosmic powers that she's had here in the last few months of Guardians books.
Okay.
It could be really, really interesting.
All right.
Okay. Then we have Guardians of Infinity, which we talked about a little bit already. I think
we did before we were recording.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Dan Abnett and Carlos Barbary. You're going to check it out. I'll probably check it out.
Yeah, I'll probably check that one out.
Then we have Howling Commandos of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Which I think is out, but yeah, I'll have to check.
Yeah, we're not sure. And that's Frank Barbary and Ben
Schoenover.
Yeah. All right. And then
the reason I would, I think I picked this up already is because of the cover.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of the monsters.
Yeah.
From the Marvel Universe. And it's like old monsters where I'm like, right. Oh, hey, I remember that guy. And it's Dum Dum Dugan.
What, Werewolf by Night? That kind of stuff. Yeah. Dum Dum Dugan. It's the life decoy model or whatever. Right. All right. And then we have Hyperion, Chuck Wendig, and Nick Varela. I don't know. Hyperion
Superman.
He's a ripoff Superman.
Yeah.
We have Illuminati, Josh Williamson, and Sean Crystal.
And this is all villains.
Yeah, it's a villain Illuminati, which I think will become more clear at the end of Secret Wars.
Right.
Then we have International Iron Man with Brian Bendis as an Alex
Who's
Millett.
This?
This is one Tony? Just got announced not so long ago.
See, I haven't even heard about this one.
I don't know. Like,
did they say anything about it?
I'll get the first one and see, but I don't know. Then we have the Mighty
Rhodey?
Maybe. Yeah.
That would be awesome, actually.
We have Mighty Thor Volume 2 with Jason Aaron and Russell Daunterman. And I believe it's the
it's
female
Jane.
Thor. Yeah, Jane.
Yeah. Jason Aaron is this book is his passionate book, I think, because he's been doing it since. Well, I read the first storyline he did where it was he was jumping between three timelines of Thor's life. Mm-hmm. And it was very interesting to read that. And I haven't read any of the stuff with Jane.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm like, that's
the Jane stuff was cool, especially at the beginning when you didn't know who she was.
Yeah.
Because she couldn't hold on to the power indefinitely.
Okay.
Like she had a like almost like the old Green Lantern rings where like she had a limit and then she had to recharge.
Wow. All right.
And so it's like, well, that's interesting. Like, cause maybe she's not like she's worthy, but like
not worthy as.
So, okay. So where were we there?
Thor. Mockingbird.
Mockingbird, Chelsea Kane. You know, whatever. I might check it out. Mockingbird's shown up in the Spider-Man book.
Yeah.
She's the Parker Industries
liaison. Yeah.
So, like, if it has something to do with that, I'm interested, like, to see kind of her getting fed up with Spider-Man and Peter Parker.
Well, and with her being on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as a main character now, it's like, why not give
Strike
her a book?
While the iron is
here goes another Avengers character in a book.
And then we have Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur.
I'm curious about this book.
It's Amy Reeder and Brandon Montclair, and then the art by Natasha Bustos. Bustos?
Yeah.
I'm interested in this book because of Planet Hulk.
Right.
Secret Wars, because Devil Dinosaur was such a freaking cool character, and like I've missed it. So it'll be interesting. And then to pair him with an Inhuman.
Right.
Will be like it's interesting to see how Marvel is systematically getting rid of mutants and replacing them with Inhumans
because
And, you know, I mean, we've had a bunch of interactions with Brandon Montclair on our Twitter account.
Okay.
He's an awesome guy. Cool. We're going to check it out. I'm going to beg him to come on and talk about it after it comes out. Okay. So then we have, I'm just going to kind of bust through some of these and kind of skip the art teams just because this is kind of dragging on and it's making me bored. okay. So we have Moon Knight, Miss Marvel, New Avengers, Nighthawk. Then we have... Nighthawk is interesting because it has David Walker as the writer.
Yeah.
He's writing Cyborg currently. But it has TBA as the artist. So that kind of makes me a little
nervous.
Is that
just one of the ones they announced like recently too? Yeah.
So,
he's another Squadron Supreme character, isn't he?
Nighthawk?
Yeah.
I don't know much about him. I think he is. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Then we have Old Man Logan,
which is one I'll pick up.
Patsy Walker, AKA Hellcat,
which is one I will not pick up.
Power Man and Iron Fist. Is
David Walker again. Nice.
And then we have Punisher, we have Red Wolf, who is an interesting Native American character.
Yeah.
Written by Nathan Edmonds.
And I just noticed the Punisher is actually Steve Dillon doing the art. He did the when Ennis was writing it. So
oh cool.
It'll definitely be worth checking out.
Okay. Then Rocket and Groot by Scotty Young is just kind of probably picking up from that Rocket Raccoon book that was pre-Secret
Wars.
And
probably will pick up because Scotty's writing it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Scarlet Witch, Silk, Silver Surfer, which is Dan Slott and Mike Allred continuing on that book.
Okay.
We have Spider-Man, which is the Miles Morales.
All right.
With Bendez and Sarah Pacelli.
Pacelli, yeah.
Who she's an artist I follow too. She's fabulous. That whole Spider-Man with where Peter went to the Ultimate Universe, or the 616 Peter went to the Ultimate Universe.
Yeah.
And met Miles.
Yeah, okay.
Was like, and it has that heartbreaking scene with May and Gwen. And
right.
Oh, man, it was rough. And she just had some amazing pages there. Okay, then we have Spider-Man Deadpool, which is Joe Kelly and Ed McGuinness. And I can't imagine a buff Spider-Man and Deadpool.
So right. I'm
probably going to skip that one altogether. Yeah. Spider-Woman, we talked about. Spidey, which is Robbie Thompson and Nick Bradshaw. I think this one was just announced. I don't know.
Yeah, I haven't even heard about this one.
I couldn't find a link to it or anything. Squadron Supreme, Star-Lord, which is Sam Humphries and Javier Garon, which Star-Lord going into Secret Wars was a fun-ass book.
Yeah.
Then we have Starbrand and Nightmask, which I don't know who they are.
But it's interesting to see that Greg Weisman's writing it. So, yeah.
Then we have Totally Awesome Hawk, which is Amadeus Cho as the Hawk.
Yeah.
Which, again, I think this is fallout from Secret Wars.
Right, yeah.
But we don't know. And that's Greg Pak and Frank Cho. 100% checking this book out.
Sure.
I love the Hulk. I want to see how they're going to, like, kind of... Like, I don't want them to mess this up, but I'm reading this to see how they mess up the Hulk.
Okay.
You know, kind of a thing. I don't think they will, but...
No, I don't think it's going to mess.
I'm very guarded.
They've already mentioned that Banner is going to show up, right. So, you know, no worries there.
And then we have Ultimates, which will be interesting because this is obviously that universe doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
So...
But this is mainly an African-American team.
Is it?
So
okay.
I think so. Black Panther, I think, is leading the team.
Cool. Okay, then we have Uncanny X-Men, Venom Space Knight, Web Warriors, Weird World, which is another Sam Humphries book.
Right.
X-Men 92 is going to continue, which
that's interesting.
Strangely fun book.
Yeah.
Which, if you're not familiar, it takes place in the continuity of
the Fox universe
TV series. And then this was one that was just announced the other day. X-Men Worst X-Man Ever by Max Bemis with art by Michael Walsh. No idea what to expect from this book. All I know is that it definitely sparked some great conversation online about
really?
Who was actually the worst X-Man.
The worst X-Man?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I gotta go with Mort. He was pretty bad. I don't know. Of the current ones, the new gold balls, the kid who can just shoot like golden ball projectiles out of his like pores.
Okay, that just sounds really bad.
He's pretty horrible.
But does it, the question of that title is it the worst X-Man as in he sucks?
Like, I think he's just the worst. I think he's just really bad at being an X-Man.
Being X-Man, okay.
And, you know, like, without these X-Books, it's really strange because we don't have, like, there's no new X-Men who are going to be created because of they're all sterile now and, you know, I don't know. I worry. I really do. And I think this is a power play against Fox.
Well, sure.
You know, it's also
the one, like we just read 40 books and there's nothing called Fantastic Four.
No. And, you know, again,
which characters from Fantastic Four are showing up? We've seen Johnny Storm. We've seen Ben Grimm. Johnny mentions that Reed and Sue are somewhere,
but where are like Franklin and, the daughters,
Valeria. Right.
You know, like it's really interesting to see like what exactly is happening.
We don't know what's happening.
And you know, again, like there was talk about this long before the Fantastic Four catastrophe hit the screen.
Yeah.
About them, like, dumping the X-Books.
Right, yeah. Yeah, the X-Books and the Fantastic.
Or not the X-Books, sorry, the Fantastic Four.
Well, they've talked
about
dumping the X-Books, too,
But, but they still sell, so I don't think they will.
Probably not a good idea to, like, kill off books that are, like, you know, making the company money.
The Fantastic Four hasn't been good for a while, like in the comics, though.
You got to find like, the right writer.
It's okay
for
it to take a break. Like, I think it's okay to take a break on characters for a while and bring them back. Don't kill them. Just kind of like
Give him a vacation?
Yeah. They went off to the negative zone to right. get, you know, pale.
Well, it's the tame. Whole thing where, you know, you got to find the right writer for these
yeah,
books.
The right teams.
And it's like, you know, everybody has their ideas. Every comic book fan has their idea
mm-hmm.
of what these characters should be. I have my ideas. You have your ideas. But in the end, Fantastic Four is about a family.
Right.
About a family who's having adventures.
Right.
And I look at, you know, I go back to the old days of Johnny Quest
yeah.
and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that's what the Fantastic Four should be.
And you know, with this whole, like, cosmic resurgence.
Right.
They're trained astronauts. Send yeah. them into space.
Send them into space.
Like, let them right. go and, you know, really explore and
right.
do what they were originally intended to do.
Right.
You know, keep them off of Earth for a while.
Especially Reed and Sue and Ben, yeah. because they were
right.
definitely like, the astronauts of the group.
I can understand not sending Johnny into
right.
space because, you know, he doesn't really work in a vacuum.
Well, exactly.
But
a fire in a vacuum.
But like Reed and Sue and the two kids, you know?
Well, see, and that's where I would say even leave the kids on Earth
yeah.
and just do a book with yeah. them.
Reed and Sue, that would be great. Like, because
yeah.
they could reconnect because they've had their issues over
right.
the years, you know, with her and Namor and her and the Silver Surfer and
but I mean
him
a book,
and science.
I would buy a book where Uncle Johnny has to take care of Franklin and Valeria.
Not even six issues.
I was gonna say it doesn't
know,
have to be an ongoing
yeah,
series, but a six issue
where he has to
mini
babysit.
Series where it's like Reed and Sue went off planet and Johnny is watching the kids.
Yeah.
And just see what kind of hijinks they get into because it's a big kid watching two little kids.
He's dialing SHIELD.
Yeah, exactly.
Help. They have powers and I can't stop them.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So, I mean, guys, this is all new, all different. Like, as it stands right now, let us know what you're interested in reading.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what people are interested in reading and why. I want to know why. Why are you picking up these books? Is it because of a writer? Is it because of the book? Is it just because?
Yeah. Because.
I just am very curious. You know, I talked to a few people about their comic book reading, but I'm curious to hear what other people have to say.
Yeah.
And if you're a writer or an artist that's doing one of these books.
Yeah, let us know. Like,
yeah, let us know, like, maybe how you got the book,
yeah.
even. I'd be curious to know.
Or really let us know why you're wasting your time listening to this podcast.
That'd be cool, too.
Anyway, all right. So, this week, we both got a big, fat stack of comics.
Well, yeah, it was a big week.
It's,
what, the first week of the month?
It is,
big.
Yeah. So, you got like 20 books. I got 18, which I did not intend to get so many books.
Yeah, we're not going to go down the whole list, but there's a few highlights on there.
So for me, the highlights were Extraordinary X-Men. And I'm not going to put these in like highlights as far as like what was good, just
yeah.
kind of like what I looked for.
Well,
to.
It's one of those things where it's why, you know, what did you grab?
Yeah.
And why did you grab it?
Extraordinary X-Men.
That's a good way to put it, actually.
It was a good. Like, it was a new X-Men. It's the first all-new, different X-Book. Uncanny X-Men 600, because it was the end
right.
of a storyline. Let's see. And then
Pacific Rim was one
we
where
both
you
got
didn't
Pacific
know about
Rim.
It,
I
and
didn't
I
know
told
it was coming
you about
out,
it.
And I love
If
Pacific
you're a fan
Rim.
Of the movie, it's like, why not pick up a book that, you know, is a continuation of the story? And I'm not sure who's writing it.
Beckman? Travis Beckham,
okay,
Beckham.
He's been around for a while.
Yeah, it looks awesome, like awesome. So I'm excited to read it.
Yeah,
not already yet. But let's see. Okay, so the X-Men books.
James Bond.
James Bond was one I was really excited about.
That's Warren Ellis.
Yeah. So and that one looks good. Like the interiors look good.
And
the cover is awesome.
The cover. Makes and you know, I haven't flipped through the book yet, but the cover makes it look like it's Ian Fleming's James Bond,
right.
and not the theatrical James Bond,
which is great because
right. So it's going to be a little bit darker than the movies.
And speaking
been.
Of James Bond, Spectre opens tonight. Well, tomorrow.
Is it tonight?
Yeah. Well,
yeah,
when you're listening,
wide
to this
opening
tonight,
on Friday,
which I think I'm going to go tomorrow morning and see it.
Oh, cool.
I don't know what you're doing, but.
Working.
If you gotta work. Well, I gotta work too, but like, you know, I can take a couple hours and
sure.
see a movie.
Put a review up.
Yeah, we'll maybe I will.
Yeah.
And then for the last one for me was just Drax, number one, because CM Punk.
Sure.
So, all right. So
Star Wars came out this week.
Yeah, so. Star Wars was great, but like that's kind of a given that I'm getting that book.
Right. Yeah.
Actually, right now.
Well, you didn't get Klaus.
No,
the new Grant Morrison book.
Yeah, I care about
Santa. I was curious. It's Grant Morrison. I'm very curious.
Real quick about Star Wars, though. I'm wearing a Captain America t-shirt right now. It's the first time in like 5 days I haven't worn a Star Wars shirt.
Wow. So. Okay.
All right. So you have a problem. I do have a problem.
Yeah, I picked Klaus up just out of curiosity. It's a Grant Morrison book.
I thumbed through it.
Yeah.
And it looks interesting. Like, the art looks interesting. Sure. But like, just not enough for me.
Okay. What else? We have Paper Girls 2 and did we Stand on Guard?
Yeah, We Stand on Guard, number 5.
Yeah. So those two are coming. It's like he's writing them at the same time.
Yeah, I want to know when Saga's coming back. Like, this has kind of like been a couple month hiagatus.
She usually takes, what, like 3 months off?
Yeah, it's usually in the summer, though.
Well, no, it's literally sequences in the year that she's off for 3 months and then the book comes out because she can actually keep up with the art, with, you know, his writing. Obviously, with Paper Girls and We Stand on Guard coming out as fast as they are.
Yeah.
It's like his writing must be fast enough that he can get her the whole 6 issues.
Yeah.
But her art is good enough that it takes her a long time.
Her art is beautiful.
Yeah.
So, Fiona Staples, if you're not sure. All right.
Another weird one I picked up was Citizen Jack, which I don't know if you...
I saw it. I didn't even pick it
up. Where it's a guy that
worships
the devil or worships a demon.
A demon.
And he is being moved up. Be the president of the United States.
And that's Dark Horse.
Right? Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Dark Horse. It was more of a curiosity pickup.
Did you read it yet?
I haven't read it yet.
Well, you have to let me know how that one is.
Yeah, definitely. So,
you know, like all in all, it was a good week for comics. A lot of stuff. Nova number one came out. Hercules number one came out for the all new, all different Extraordinary X-Men. Green Lantern is finishing up its whole like Hal Jordan Renegade storyline. That's a book. It's like some.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like just the whole Green Lantern.
Jeff Johns love.
Yeah. I don't know.
They've announced that he's coming back on Aquaman.
Yeah. Well, great. Well, because the one guy like quit before his issues even came out.
Okay.
I think it's Cullen Bunn, actually.
Wow.
So don't quote me on that.
I'll volunteer to give it a try.
Yeah.
Then we'll get the political.
We'll get the political, Game of Thrones.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how Aquaman should be written, honestly. And, you know, with Jason Momoa, who knows?
Yeah.
But Aquaman doesn't grunt.
Right.
Like, you know, like, I'm not.
He doesn't need to grunt. But we need to. I want the Aquaman that was on Young Justice.
Yes.
Where he was the king.
Yeah, he was badass.
Yeah.
So, and we can get Calderon.
Yeah, exactly. So. That's what I'm saying. I'd like to see them, you know, jump on that idea of using that character.
Yeah. All right. Man, we've been talking for a long time. So
sorry.
Well, there's just a lot to talk about.
All right. Yeah. Hopefully everybody's still listening.
You know, so Marvel's all new, all different. Make sure you guys are checking it out. Let us know what books you're checking it out and why. Let us know what books we should check out based on your recommendations.
Yeah.
We love doing that. But yeah, this has been the Infamous Podcast, episode 16. I'm Brian Tudor.
Johnny Potter.
You can find me on the Twitters and Instagram at Brian Tudor.
Twitter, I'm at Johnny Potter. Instagram, Facebook. Instagram's J. Michael Potter.
All right.
And then Facebook.
And then, you know, obviously the Infamous Podcast. We're at infamouspodcast.com. Infamous Podcast, Twitter, Facebook, whatever. 5-star reviews, guys.
Yes, definitely.
They would be so helpful. We want to keep moving up. You know, definitely let us know what you think. You can email us at theinfamouspodcast@gmail.com for any suggestions, complaints. I'll gladly give you guys Johnny's phone number.
No. I don't know.
But all right. So it's been a great week for comics. Go see James Bond this weekend. Let us know what you think.
Check out the Peanuts movie. It's out.
Oh,
too.
Peanuts comes out. Yeah. So that looks great.
Yeah. If you're a fan of,
I'm excited to take
fan the, of those characters, then that definitely is one that'll be worth checking out.
I'm excited to take the KBO.
I think I'm more excited about that than Spectre.
Yeah. Well, me and the KBO 7 are probably gonna go see that on Sunday. But anyway, all right. You guys have a great week.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
All right. Later.